Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor at Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Living this life will teach you that the consequences of your actions will affect your life positively or negatively. Many followers of Christ and the unsaved must understand that you can make the decision, but you can't always control or dictate the consequences. As it relates to obedience or disobedience to the Word of God, the consequences may already be presented in Scripture, and to ignore that is foolish. Dr. Kinlow continues his series of messages in the Gospel of Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 35. Today we're broadcasting the second part of the message. Let's listen and learn.
Preach the Word of God concerning he came to seek and to save that which was loss. What I'm trying to get you to see this morning is this. Good intentions are not enough. Good intentions for the sake of the Lord do not negate the consequences of disobeying God. But disobedience out of a perceived good intention, there are always a hindrance to the kingdom. There are always a hindrance to the Word of God. There are always a hindrance to the preaching of the gospel. And they are always a hindrance to the church being what God wants it to be to some degree. And guess what? No good thing can come out of a hindrance to the Word of God. No good thing can come out of being a hindrance to the kingdom. No good thing can come out being a hindrance to the preaching of the gospel. No good thing can come out by you being a hindrance to what the church is supposed to be. Even though your intentions may have been good. Good intentions are not enough. How many times you heard, well, he's sincere in what he's doing, Pastor? Well, so what? He's still out there messing up. He was serious. So what? You didn't mess up. Now we got some other stuff to deal with out of your good intentions. But he was serious. Don't make no difference. Disobedience to the Lord, it always incurs a negative consequence. There is an epidemic in the church today of people having good intentions, but nevertheless, they are in disobedience to the Word of God. And the result of the same, as we see in the disobedience, this former leper to the words of Jesus. They are a hindrance to the kingdom. They are a hindrance to the Word of God. They are a hindrance to the preaching of the gospel. They are a hindrance to sound doctrine. They are a hindrance to people seeing and understanding the authority of God through the scripture. They are a hindrance to the world taking the church seriously. Good intentions, but yet you are a hindrance. Why? You are disobedient to the Word of God. Sometimes the negative consequence is subtle. And often the consequences, they're taking place a little at a time, a little at a time, a little at a time. But by the time the consequences come to the surface, now it's out of control. And the necessary treatment is now drastic. Subtle, yet the damage is being done underneath. And by the time the full consequences come to the surface, it's out of control. And something now very difficult for us to deal with. Let me give you an example. I remember when I was a much younger man, my dentist diagnosed one of my molars to have a very small cavity. And I was there for just a routine, you know. He said, oh, you got a small cavity back here. At the time, it wasn't hurting me. And for whatever reason, I chose not to get it dealt with during that visit. I told him, well, I'll come back and get it done later. And I remember he said to me, well, don't you forget about it because it ain't going to forget about you. Now, the tooth never hurt or bother me for a long time. Guess what happened? The cavity on the surface stayed the same size. It was just a little bitty hole. But what had happened on the inside of the tube was now catastrophic. And by the time it did start hurting, I went back to the dentist, and he should have told me, I told you so, but he didn't say that, amen. But by the time I went back, the tube was now too diseased to treat it, and it had to be extracted. To this day, that small gap it left between two of my back molars, it has created a situation which requires, every time I go to the dentist, extra cleaning and monitoring from my dentist. Every time I go now, they got to go up inside my gum with some pointy thing, and it hurts. He said, I'm trying to see how much bone you're still losing in this area here. And the dentist told me, you know, it's going to get to a certain point. He said, you're going to have to get a bone graft and probably a gum graft. Because if you don't, the rest of them going to start falling out. Wow. The consequence of me doing what I, not doing what I was told to do, it was very subtle. But now the treatment is going to be costly and probably painful. If I'd have done what their dentist originally said, I would not be where I am today with this particular area in my dental cavity. But because the consequence was so subtle, it led me to believe it's not really that bad. By the time it did come to the surface, it's a big problem now. Amen. The same is true when the people of God have good intentions, but are nevertheless disobedient to God according to the scriptures. Very often the scriptures disobey. They don't concern anything necessary for salvation. But the disobedience nevertheless has led to negative consequences which have brought about negative spiritual consequence in the life of the people and the life of the church. The consequences were very subtle. But over a period of time, this disobedience has created catastrophic spiritual consequences. Teach us. It has created some of the following, but not limited to, but some of these. It has created a careless attitude about the word of God. It has created a careless, flippant attitude about the commands, the precepts, and the principles in the Word of God. And these are serious spiritual consequences. When this happens, God's people suffer, and so does the church at large. Several areas I see in the church today where people are sincere, but nevertheless disobedient, and it is now wreaking havoc, are as follows. There is a disobedience of many, both men and women, to what God has ordained as the primary requirement for a person to hold the office of pastor / teacher / elder. That is, they must be a man. Now see, here's how we do. Well, Pastor Kendall just don't believe in women preachers. It ain't got nothing to do with me. It has to do with what God has ordained. Either we're going to do this thing right or forget about it. Both 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 are two passages that address this requirement. 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 2. It's getting quiet now. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife. Let me stop right there. I fully understand the Greek text insofar that the phrase translated any man in the English translation, it's the Greek word tis, meaning anyone. So in the Greek, it literally says, if anyone, I get it. I understand when Paul says the office of overseer, I understand the word for that is feminine. The office of overseer or pastor, the word is feminine. Not masculine. And so some people take that to mean, well, that means women can preach. Because The word for office of overseer is feminine and not masculine. Well, why is the word for the office of overseer feminine? I'll tell you why. Shepherding is a nurturing profession.
Yes. Yes.
And who did God make primarily as nurturers? Not me. Amen. Because I can be a matter of fact. My head hurting me. Well, get something and take it. Amen. Now, a woman, she, oh, poor baby, you there'll be, yeah. My mother-in-law be sending chicken soup over. Amen. You ain't getting no chicken soup for me. Amen. Did you go to the doctor? If you ain't feeling well, get yourself. You just see, that's. Now, we don't understand that. We think it's a problem that women are by nature more nurturing than men.
Amen.
It doesn't mean men cannot be nurturers, because they do, but you don't understand the role God has called men to have in the world, in the home, in the church. It requires at times a matter-of-fact attitude.
Amen.
Because you are the protector.
Amen.
Getting a few amens.
Amen.
So sometimes we ain't got time to be touchy-feely. You come up in this house, I'm going to shoot you. Amen. Ain't nothing touchy-feely about it. You come up in here as a price to pay. But women are normally more nurturing. Oh, baby. And sometimes they even take it too far. Amen. So the office of overseer, it is feminine, because shepherding, it is a nurturing profession.
Yes. Amen.
You have to bear with the people. You have to be long suffering. You have to bear along with them.
Amen.
But the text is also clear. The one holding the office of overseer must be a man. Why? Because he must be the husband of one wife.
Amen.
Now, if you don't know what that means, there's no help for you. Amen. If you can't understand during the New Testament period, a woman was, the word literally means, when it says husband of one wife, the Greek word anir literally means he must be a one woman man. In other words, he can't have two women. He can't have three. He can't have a wife and a girlfriend. No, he must be a one woman man, and that must be his wife. Now, if you can't figure it out, if you're a husband, you have to be a man. Amen. If you can't get that, there ain't much hope for you. And if you can't get that, we shouldn't really trust anything you have to say in handling the scriptures.
Amen.
Titus 1:6 reads the same way. I got to get out of here. That is, the anyone who desires the office of overseer, feminine, must be a one woman man. They must be a man. And that's why the translators use all of these masculine pronouns in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. They're really getting it correct. Listen, God is just as concerned with you obeying this as he is with you obeying Exodus 20:13. You shall not murder. But we make a distinction between what is important for us to obey and what is, See, in many people's mind, murder is much more grave. So if you're going to have your pick of which commandment to obey, let's just disobey this one. In much of the church world today, these texts are disobeyed and just disregarded without batting an eye. But there is currently a plague of women in the pulpit. This is especially true in the so-called, in quotations, black church. I really believe some of these sisters really feel they are called. In other words, they have subjected God to their feelings. And so I really believe a lot of these sisters trying to preach, I believe they're serious. But nevertheless, when you disobey, it is still going to be a hindrance to the gospel, a hindrance to the word of God, a hindrance to the kingdom. The spiritual consequences are grave, for the more women usurp the authority of male leadership in the church, the less masculine the men become. And the less men live up to their God-ordained role of being leader and protector. I'm going to really get y'all mad now. Women pastors create Casper milk, wheat, toast, men. I got a good mm-hmm from Elder Cobra. God bless you, my brother. Amen. Listen, if a man comes up in here cutting up and the women step to him and put him in his place by physical means if necessary, and the men sit back and just look, the men have been feminized and the women are now acting like guys. When the sisters are running the pulpit and the church and the men do nothing, the women are becoming masculine and the men are feminized. Both are in a subtle rebellion against the word of God, and it is a hindrance to the things of God. Amen. When the sisters take over the pulpit and the church, they have established an order in the church contrary to God's order in creation, because God created the man first and then the woman. The man was to be the protector and the woman his helper or helpmeet, the nurturer. Man, protector. Woman, nurturer. Can I make this any more plainer? Amen? But we're trying to reverse this stuff, and it has hit the church, and the church is trying to be cultural relevant. What we are doing is being disobedient to the word of God. Amen. And at the end of the day, nothing good is going to become of it. The other result is sooner or later, the human mind will say this. Well, we can disobey this one. Why not the rest of it? And I've heard him say, well, the Bible say women can't preach. We ain't doing that. So we can now disobey this. What difference do it make? Given enough time, the scripture will have absolutely no authority in the lives of people or the church. This is just as much a hindrance as this former leper's disobedience, which made it hard for Jesus to do what he came to do. Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I may preach there also, for this is what I came for. This is a hindrance to the kingdom, the gospel, the church, and individual spiritual growth. For it is impossible for any believer to grow spiritually as they should. Listen to what I'm going to say. It is impossible for any believer to grow spiritually as they should under the pastoral leadership of one who should not be there by command of God. Dr. Kendall, are you saying it is impossible for a person to grow in Christ as they should if their pastor is a woman? Yes, I am. If you are following the leadership of a person who's not qualified by God to do it, then something's going to come up short someplace. Amen? Amen. Let me move on. I'm 60. I don't care. Amen. What you see is what you get now. Amen. Many local churches pay no attention to the command of God in 1 Corinthians 14:33 concerning the avoidance of chaos in the public worship service. The text says, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. The result of a chaotic worship service is they always produce spiritually, scripturally ignorant Christians. Come on. Come on. And it always creates exactly what Paul said it would create in 1 Corinthians 14:33. And will they not say you are all mad, crazy, out of your minds when the world thinks the church is crazy? We cannot make the impact God wants us to make in the world when the folks at your job think you're crazy. Because while you're supposed to be working, you off in some corner at work, call yourself getting happy. People do that kind of, and you at work. Thank you, Jesus. They would serve you right to call the wagon on you. Amen. See, when people think you are crazy, you cannot be effective in the kingdom of God. This is why God says when you gather together for worship, 1 Corinthians 14 is all about public worship. God says everything is to be done decently and in order, because God is not a God of confusion, but God is a God of peace, as in all the churches of saints. So what we do up in here, it should have some order. It should never be chaotic, but the church is so messed up today. The more orderly it is, the more we say God is not a part of it. But the Bible says God is a God of order. Therefore, to me, the more orderly it is in accordance with scriptures, that's the evidence it must really be of God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
But we ain't paying that no attention. The preacher up trying to preach and you in the back getting your happy on. I'm talking about so bad it's disturbing everybody else. There's a time for all of that. Amen. But more honestly, we need less time for that, and we need to hear more of the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can make it without your shout, but you cannot make it in life from day to day without the word of God. Amen. You can never cut one step day in your life, but you can make it on the word of God. Amen. Because it makes the man of God complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. It's a lamp to the feet and a light to the path. It gives wisdom to the ignorant. Amen. It makes a man more wiser even than you can get being wise in years. The word of God, it is sweeter than a honeycomb. Amen. God has elevated his word above his very name. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. The word of God, it is the very breath of God. It is the God-breathed word of God. And I say, if you stand on that, amen, you can make it in this world.
Amen.
So it appears to me we need more preaching and teaching of the word of God. Now, we do need praise and we do need worship, but we need more of the word of God. The focus should be the word of God. And what we do as we lead up to the word of God, it is to be done decently and in order, and you can get your thing on and praise God and get emotional, but we can do it in an orderly way. Why? Because God said so.
Amen.
But when we don't do that, somewhere along the line, the cracks is coming. And sooner or later, you're going to have foolishness up in your congregation. Disobedience to God, according to what he has given us in his word, even though the intentions are good and sincere, the consequences are always serious. And what they are doing, it is always a hindrance to the kingdom, a hindrance to the gospel, a hindrance to the word of God. Just as this leper, he was serious. I got to tell somebody what Jesus has done for me. Even though the one who is truly God and truly man said, don't do it, he must not know what he's talking about. I just got to tell somebody. Result, Jesus now out in the woods someplace in an unpopulated area. Can't do what he called to do because of one leper's disobedience, even though his intentions were good.
Yeah.
Good intentions do not negate the negative consequences of being disobedient to the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
We need to remember that in our personal lives and the life of the church. I'm through. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for all things today. Lord, I know that what I preach today, I know it's not popular. I know it's not a good marketing scheme. I know it probably rubbed many wrong way. But it's the word of God. And we must stay true to it. Lord, help us to remember the signs and wonders Jesus brought about. They were secondary because they served the point of proving he was who he claimed to be and what he said was true. Lord, help us to understand miracles were secondary to Jesus, but his person, his work, his words were number one. And Lord, I pray that that's the pattern we follow. Lord, we pray for people to be genuinely healed. We pray for people to be genuinely delivered. We pray that God will meet their every need. But most importantly, we pray that they will be saved through that relationship with the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ. Amen. Perhaps there's one today you feel so led to give yourself to Jesus. If there's one, the altar workers can come pray with you. If there's one today, would you raise your hand? Lord, we pray for those who are not saved today. Lord, we want them to know that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. It is not by any work of righteousness that we are saved, but by his mercy and grace. He saves us through the cross and through the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Father God, I pray for those today who are sick and afflicted, down and out. We call their names out in the call to worship period of the service. And so, Lord, we lift those names up before you again. Heal their bodies, heal their minds. Assuage them in their grief. Let them know that you are with them, even at such a grieving hour as this. Father God, I pray for everyone here today. Lead us, guide us, keep us safe. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to join us today for Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow II, Senior Pastor of Word of God, Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Tune in tomorrow as he continues to teach the Scriptures. If you want to know more about the church, Sunday morning worship time, or Bible study, visit wocc.org. May the Lord guide you throughout your day.